Nina here. A warning about this podcast. There'll be explicit language and sexual content. So if you're listening with the kids, now's a good time to listen to another podcast, maybe something from the archives. This has been an election season of words. Bigly, or is it big league?
You're going to cut taxes, big league, and you're going to raise taxes, big league.
Deplorable.
Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Oh, and can't forget nasty.
Is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
The post-election, one word has recently caught a lot of people's attention. Cuck. C-U-C-K. It's a word being used by the so-called alt-right, white nationalists and white supremacists, like Richard Spencer, speaking at the National Policy Institute conference that took place in Washington, D.C. last month.
The mainstream media, or perhaps we should refer to them in the original German, Lügenpresse. It's not just that they are leftist and cucks. It's not just that many are genuinely stupid. Indeed, one wonders if these people are people at all. Or instead, soulless Gollum, animated by some dark power to repeat whatever talking point John Oliver stated the night before.
Lots of language to talk about here. Lügenpresse.
Lügenpresse.
Or the lying press was a term used in Nazi Germany. And Gollum.
Soulless Gollum.
That mystical monster created from clay to save Jews from the wrath of the pogroms in Eastern Europe. But today on the podcast, we are going to focus on the word cuck. We'll hear from linguist Michael Adams, sex columnist Dan Savage, and white nationalist Richard Spencer. Words matter, or do words matter to you?
Of course words matter. Words have power.
Cuck, what does it mean? And how did it become the slur of choice for white nationalists? I'm Nina Porzucchi, and you're listening to The World in Words.
You said cuck. Do you know what that means? It's the new insult on the internet.
A cuck?
Yes.
C-U-K?
C-U-C-K.
This is podcaster and provocateur Joe Rogan, introducing his guest to the word cuck. It's a shortening of the ancient insult cuckold. You know that word for a man being cheated on by his wife. Now, many modern insults already exist to emasculate men. There's wussy and pussy. But white nationalists have taken hold of this new old word and twisted the meaning to slander men, quote unquote, cheating on the white race.
A cuck is someone who's a wimpy male. And it started out with cuckservative. It started out pretty interesting. It was, let's make fun of the GOP for being open borders.
Gavin McInnes there explaining the meaning of the portmanteau, cuckservative, on Glenn Beck's show, The Blaze. Cuck and cuckservative first gained traction in the underbelly of the internet, showing up on sites like 4chan and then popping up in more mainstream spaces like Twitter and YouTube before catching fire first in the conservative press.
And it was a nice attack on George W. Bush, on Rubio, on Jeb Bush, the Bushes in general.
Right.
And I thought, I love this now. But then next thing you know, you're a cuckservative if you're a race mixer, like Nick Searcy was getting in trouble for adopting a black kid. Or you're a cuckservative if you're Ezra Levant and you're Jewish and you don't hate Israel. That's when I had to go, whoa, whoa, guys. It's sort of like the black stuff that gets on Spider-Man and then he turns into Venom.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with it.
Suddenly, the slur that was being used in a very targeted way against moderate Republicans morphed into an insult being hurled against nearly anyone opposed to white nationalist ideology. The mainstream media, anyone opposing Trump, two actors from the hit TV show Silicon Valley. The week after the election, actor Kumail Nanjiani from Silicon Valley tweeted out this, quote, was at a bar last night with Thomas Middleditch. At the end of the night, two white dudes, 20s, who had been there for hours, came up to us. We're a big fan of you guys. To Thomas, I trolled you on Twitter yesterday. He goes on to say how we're wrong about Trump. I go, hey, we're not here to discuss politics right now. His friend goes, oh, they're cucks. Then started yelling at us, cucks, cucks, cucks. He starts getting in my face. Thomas puts his hand on the dude's chest to stop him. Don't touch me, you cuck. Want to go outside? At this point, the bouncer runs over, grabs them, kicks them out. The bartender is awesome and apologetic. Thomas and I are stunned. Thomas Middleditch, the other actor from Silicon Valley, tweeted to confirm Camille's story. which all doesn't make much sense. Kumail is an immigrant to the U.S., the very group that white nationalists and white supremacists claim to be cuckolding white America. So how can Kumail be a cuck? Maybe it's because he's a successful celebrity. Confusing. But words aren't fixed in place. Meaning is constantly shifting. Could we be witnessing the evolution of a slur? Let's go back to the beginning.
It has to do with stealing someone else's eggs.
Michael Adams is a professor of language and literature at Indiana University, Bloomington. He studies slang. He recently wrote a book called In Praise of Profanity, and he's talking about the cuckoo bird. The word cuckold can be traced back to this sneaky little bird that lays their eggs in another bird species' nest.
Cuckold is an older word. You can take it all the way back to the 13th century, and it's always had a pejorative sense because the assumption was that, once you were married, you were supposed to remain faithful to a spouse. And it's always been a derisive term because men should be able to govern their women. I'm not saying that as a matter of fact today. I'm saying that as a historical assumption. And so if you were old and feeble, or if you were unattractive, or if you were inattentive, or if you were dumb as a rock or not sexually attractive, and your wife went off to be with another man, then that really underscored your deficiency as a man.
And the shortened word cuck also goes back centuries, says Adams.
Even in the 16th century, cuck was seen as a word part that you could combine with another word like queen. So you had cuck queens, who were women who had unfaithful husbands. It worked both ways. So I guess you could say people have seen the potential in cuck as a word for a while. You know, it serves the same purpose that cuckold could serve, but it's just a more effective word, I think, not least because, frankly, it rhymes with the F word. So it carries potentially in the ear a lot of negative meaning.
There's something interesting about curse words. Cuck sounds, when you actually say it, it's got the hard C and the hard K.
Sure.
And it sounds bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, does sound play into how words go viral or how bad words get formed, made, etc.?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It's difficult to think of it this way, but when you're speaking, you're really gesturing inside of your mouth, and there's striking, and there's spitting, and there are some pretty fundamental things going on that I guess you could put in the range of violent behavior, even though it's all happening in your mouth rather than out at your fists. And so you get the right vowel in between a consonant like k. And, I mean, cook doesn't sound so terrible, does it? And squeak doesn't sound so terrible. But if you get a short vowel in between those two K's, then it emphasizes the striking sound. And we do tend to use words that have that type of sound as our profanities. The F word is another example of it. Probably you get more excellent profanity out of starting with what a linguist calls a fricative, a sound, a consonant, where you're letting air pass through the mouth, not where you're stopping the airflow. So allows you to sort of build up a head of steam with which to strike the k at the end of the word. But starting with a k and ending with a k works pretty well too.
I was thinking a lot about, like, why not pussy or why not wussy, why cuck took hold. And I was just thinking about how pussy, it has the same meaning as cuck in essence, but also it's like a feminine word, and
right,
cuck is masculine word, and like what the difference, if there's something to that as
yeah,
well.
It's two different types of demeaning. I've thought about that too. I had the two words side by side on a sheet of paper, looking at them, thinking, really, what is the difference? And they can both be used to mean ineffectual male, but one says the male is ineffectual because he's like a woman, and the other says he's ineffectual because he can't stand up for himself. And that seems to be the meaning that's politically relevant in the alt-right, that cucks and being cucked, you're not able to exercise your masculinity in the way that you ought to, and you're taken advantage of as a result of that. And pussy and wussy don't necessarily imply that you're being taken advantage of. So I think that there is a difference in meaning there. But I also think, frankly, that I don't want to say something that isn't really true, I guess. I'm not trying to say that alt-righters are necessarily violent, but there's a violence in cuck compared to pussy, which is a relatively soft word in its sound, or wussy. there's a meaning behind that sound, too.
There is a violence to the sound of the word cuck. And it sounds at times like a cross between fuck and one of the C words, either cock or cunt. So where did the alt-right rediscover this term? Where did they get it from?
It's recently been used in some surprising niches in video game play, in the BDSM world, bondage, domination, sadomasochism. And so I was kind of surprised when it popped up in alt-right speak, because I wondered, you know, how many of the alt-right people were involved in BDSM activities or visiting BDSM websites where they were picking up on this word. So the entry of the word into the alt-right has been a little bit mysterious to me, and I haven't been able to pin it down yet myself.
If the alt-right slur cuck has any roots in the world of BDSM and kink/fetish circles, I knew who I needed to talk with.
I'm Dan Savage, and I write Savage Love. It's a internationally syndicated sex advice column, and I've been writing about cuckolds and cuckolding for almost as long as I've been writing about sex.
If you've never listened to Dan Savage's Lovecast, I fully permit you to stop this podcast right now and download it and listen. I start off by asking Dan when he first encountered the word cuckold.
I have a theater background, so I heard about it reading The Merry Wives of Windsor by William Shakespeare. So I was familiar with the term for a long time, but it was only about 10, 15 years ago that it was adopted and popularized by a certain kind of kinkster, a guy who is at once jealous and threatened, but also aroused and turned on by his usually female partner or wife cheating on him, often in front of him. And in many instances, although not all instances, and I would say probably not a majority of instances, there's a racial element to it. The sort of first publicly self-identified cuckolds we heard from and about in articles in, I believe, Nylon or Vice, were about guys in the South who were having parties to get together their wives with black guys and watch their wives have sex with black guys. And in interviewing these guys, they were racists often. But this was their kink and this was their turn on.
So is the term, as it first came into kink, is it pejorative? Because so Shakespeare, it's a pejorative term. Did it have a pejorative sense when it came into kink?
Cuckolding, as distinct from hotwifing, which is where someone enjoys sharing his hot wife or hot partner with someone else without any element of humiliation or degradation. Cuckolding involves humiliation. So appropriating or choosing a word that historically had been an insult made sense for the fetish, because the fetish is about the cuckolding thing specifically, as opposed to hot wiping, is about the degradation, about the humiliation, about the eroticized feelings of inadequacy, and really leaning into those. So it makes total sense that cuckolds chose, as a self-identifying term, chose to embrace this word that for centuries had been an insult, because cuckolding involves the insult, the eroticized insult of your partner cheating on you.
That's really interesting. And when you say there's a racialized aspect of the first cuckolding that you saw, I mean, how does the sex positive community look upon this kind of activity or this sort of portion of the cuckolding?
In the kink community, there are different kinds of racialized play. And there's all sorts of fears and taboos that are explored through kink and through play. There are people who have rape fantasies, and it's possible to enact those without raping anyone. It's possible to engage in kinks and indulge kinks that involve sort of eroticized racial aspects without succumbing to racism, without being racist. You just have to be thoughtful about it. So I don't think that people in the kink community necessarily had a problem with cuckolding when it emerged and became more public and publicly known for that element of it, because there were other elements of race play in the kink community and other elements of taboo and transgressive play in the kink community. And a distinction is made between what's eroticized, and it's often fears that are eroticized, and what then is politically expressed or socially expressed. And those are different categories with different impacts. If you dink around on cuckold subreddits or you look at cuckold porn, a minority of it features race play.
It's like a small minor subset of the whole kink that is race play.
Exactly. The first sort of high-profile conversations about it, I believe it was in Atlantic Monthly many years ago. There's a big splashy story about cuckolds, and guys were calling themselves cuckolds, and it was all about race, and it was in the South, and these were guys with racist views who got off on their wives having sex with quote-unquote black bucks. And so, you know, when it first burst into the public consciousness, there was this racial element. But as the kink has sort of become more popularized and awareness of it, I don't think kinks are contagious myself, but as awareness of it has grown and more people have been able to go, oh, there's a name for this thing that's always turned me on. That's what I am. I think there's less and less of a racial dynamic at play. You know, you look at those subreddits, there's also one called r/cuckoldcommunity, and very rarely is it about race, that you see people bragging about the men that their wives are sleeping with, and they'll even post videos, and you know, the guy who's sleeping with the guy's wife is white too, or Asian or Latin, and it's not about black bucks, quote unquote.
Is that sort of aspect of it completely American?
Yeah, it does seem to be not a completely, but I think a more common fetish here among Americans. My column runs in Italy and it runs in China, and I don't get a lot of letters from Italy about cuckolding, but I get a letter every day or so from an American about cuckolding.
And I wonder how much race plays into that.
I think race plays a part in it for many people. I think the importance that we put on monogamy in this country drives it in a huge way here. You know, why don't I get these questions from Italy? Why don't I hear about this in France? Well, they place much less emphasis on monogamy as the defining sort of stand-in, talismanic evidence of like a good and solid and loving relationship. We place so much emphasis on monogamy that, of course, then some people are going to eroticize transgressing against the monogamous ideal.
Everybody's cuckolding in Italy.
Everybody's cheating. I mean, they take a much more laissez-faire attitude. And I think a much healthier one if you're concerned about the survival of marriages and relationships, that an infidelity can happen and maybe it's something that you can get past. Not something to celebrate, but certainly not a good reason all by itself to end a marriage and break up a family. You know, here where we frame infidelity as always and inevitably a relationship ender and a marriage ender, then the fear of it, the fear of infidelity, the paranoia about it is going to be so much greater. And a certain small number of people, whatever there is that people are terribly, terribly afraid of, particularly if it intersects with genitalia in any way, a certain small number of people are going to eroticize that fear and run toward it instead of running from it.
So seeing how this word has been taken hold by white supremacists, white nationalists, the so-called alt-right, what have your thoughts been since seeing the word kind of pop into their lexicon?
Well, the way the alt-right uses the word, or the white nationalist, racist, xenophobic, anti-Semitic right uses the word, is galling and insulting, because they're sort of reappropriating it from the cuckold community that popularized it. And instead of meaning, you know, someone who in a consensual way enjoys exploring these taboos and these kinks and these eroticized fears with mutually consenting adult partners, the alt-right uses it to mean race traitor, that this is someone who has been sexually humiliated or whose politics, in a sense, sexually humiliate them because they care about people of color, because they care about racial justice. And when you see the term used at places like Breitbart, all over the comments, it's not used to describe someone who's got a kink or got a fetish. It's used to describe and dismiss and shame and heap stigma on someone who supports affirmative action, who supports a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, who believes that Black Lives Matter, who believes that we have a police brutality problem in this country. And it's a way of attacking someone and calling someone out who's white and accusing them of betraying other white people by supporting justice for all races in this country. It's very toxic, and that there's this element of sexualized degradation and humiliation in the use of the term among the alt-right makes it more potentially damaging and humiliating for some people.
It's a very, very insidious word in the way that they've been using it. And it has become sort of devoid of its original meaning in so many ways.
It doesn't make sense. You know, originally the term meant a husband who'd been cheated on by his wife. And, you know, it got around. He was found out. They were found out. And he was publicly humiliated, publicly shamed because he couldn't control his wife. Then, you know, this kink community embraced the term, and it meant a guy who got off on being cheated on by his wife. And this was something they did together and enjoyed together. And it was no longer humiliating, although humiliating was a part of the play. It was consensual and joyful. And it's just been stolen out from under them to mean race traitor. That's what the alt-right means when they slap a cuck label on someone, a traitor to the white race, which is not actually a thing, the white race. There is no white race. It's more known now in that sense than in the kink sense or indeed the Shakespearean sense.
So the subreddit that you put me onto is really interesting. One of the interesting comments that I read was somebody said, quote, cuck has become the new fag. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I think that's pretty realistic. Some certain sub-sewers of the alt-right like to pretend that they're pro-gay. And that's one of the things that distinguishes this modern, more modern iteration of the white nationalist, white supremacist movement from old iterations of it. And something that distinguishes it from, say, politicized Islam, which they're very proud of drawing distinctions between them and politicized Islam. And so there are some who argue that these politics are pro-gay and they have their sort of openly gay mascots on the alt-right. And so to call someone a fag, if you're attempting to assume a pro-gay posture, is to undermine that effort. So you needed a new term, and they seized on this one that goes more to the heart of their mission, which is not about sexual orientation necessarily. It's about stirring up racial animus and tapping into racial hatreds for political gain and economic gain. Racism and sex negativity and hate, that's what they're doing with that word on the alt racist right.
I wanted to know, what are folks like Richard Spencer from the quote-unquote alt-right thinking when they use that term?
Hello.
Hi, Richard.
Yes.
Richard Spencer is the president of the National Policy Institute, a generic name for an organization devoted to white nationalist ideology. He's often credited with coining the term alt-right. He also, as you heard earlier, frequently uses the word cuck.
It was Donald Trump who I think, you know, sparked this word. You know, he sparked the rise of this word, no doubt, because Donald Trump seemed to me and to so many others in the alt-right to be actually sticking up for his own people. He was sticking up for his own voters, and he was sticking up for American white people.
Huh. So when you use the word, I'm just trying to understand this. So when you use the word, and when people from the quote-unquote alt-right use the word, white nationalists use the word, it is a racialized word. So basically you're saying you are betraying the white race.
Yes.
Through politics, through whatever ways you're doing it. You are,
again,
it is a word to like basically say you are betraying the white race.
Yes. I mean, that's not to say that there couldn't be a Chinese cuck. Like, but he would be betraying China. It is a universally descriptive word. But in the way that we use it, yes, it's mostly directed, almost always directed at the right. It's a cuckservative. And it is directed at people who don't fundamentally care about their own family and their own people. After cuckservative rose, then we just started calling them cucks. And then cuck took on another life as a verb. So when Trump would do something that would disappoint us, we would say things like, is Trump cucking? I've heard cucking out as a verb without an object. Oh, is he cucking out? Which, you know, again, just means that he's disappointing everyone. He's not being strong and true.
It's a slur. It's a derogatory, derisive word. No?
Yes, I don't think you can get away from the fact that it is meant to ridicule
and shame and hurt, be hurtful. It's a hurtful word.
Yes, yes.
So if you consider this a slur, how does it feel to like apply it to people, to actually be putting that language out in the world? Why do that?
Oh, give me a break. You're saying, why not just be nice? Well,
why not just be nice?
The world's not a nice place.
But why slur?
Like, throughout my life, these conservatives, this conservative movement, what George W. Bush, John McCain, Romney, all of them, National Review, all of them have made terrible decisions. They have done terrible things. Even if you want to disagree with my stance on immigration, which is fine, you would agree that these people have done terrible things. They have launched wars that have killed tens of thousands of Americans and perhaps millions of people in the Middle East that have cost trillions of dollars. I mean, these are catastrophes. I'm using language against them. They're not good. And so I think it is proper to demean them. People demean us. You're a racist. You're whatever. You know, you're KKK. You're literally Hitler. I get that all the time. Those aren't descriptive. Those aren't attempting to bring knowledge into the world. Those are purely meant to insult me and demean me and ridicule me.
But how does that feel? How does that feel when people call you a racist or people say you're the next Hitler or all these things? Like, how does that feel?
Well, I mean, maybe it hurts a little. Maybe it hurt a little while ago. I mean, I have pretty thick skin at this point.
But do you feel like it makes you angry? I mean, do you feel like it fuels in you the desire to like then call somebody else something else?
Maybe.
You
know? I mean, look, I don't like being called bad names, but it reveals to me that these people ultimately do hate me. And, you know, it reveals to me who they are. So it's like we have to play this game and fight back. I mean, I think you're almost making an argument, which is, you know, this, you know, why can't we just stop playing this game? Or why can't we just be nice and get along? And the fact is, you know, we don't.
What you just heard is a distillation of our conversation. We spoke for nearly an hour, talking circles on the power of language, the dangers of hate speech, or the justification/necessity, as he sees it. And when I brought up how the word has morphed from a slur attacking conservatives to a slur attacking anyone who speaks out against Trump, remember those two actors, Kumail Nanjiani and Thomas Middleditch, who were called cucks at a bar in L.A., Spencer shared this story.
I remember when I was in Cleveland for the Republican convention, I met this guy who called himself the Cuck Slayer. And I remember talking to him. I was like, oh, wow, so you have a whole Twitter handle and YouTube feed called the Cuck Slayer. You know, let me talk to you. And this guy didn't really know any of the basic ideas of the alt-right. He didn't really know what cuck was. He was saying some kind of silly things like, you know, Democrats are the true racist and things like that. And I remember thinking about this. I was like, I don't know what my opinion on this should be. I don't know whether I should be appalled that, you know, our language is being, you know, diluted or even bolderized or something like that. Or I don't know whether I should be enthused by the fact that our language is seeping out there. And even like it's coming from us and it's going into the land of normies, as we call them, or, you know, the uninitiated. And I think I probably should be enthused by it. I think that's ultimately a good thing that we're inflecting language.
Even if it's a guy like that who's saying something nonsensical, which is just like hate speech, even there.
I'm a very polite person, but, you know, at the end of the day, are you really that concerned about someone yelling at someone at a bar? I mean, it's like, this is life. It's not that big of a deal. And yes, you cross the line once you engage in violence, you cross the line. But, you know, I don't know, yelling cuck at someone in the context of everyone's drinking, and is that really a big deal? I mean, come on.
As a kid, you always hear that tired saying. I think I've said it on the podcast before. You know the one. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. It never made sense to me as a kid. It doesn't make sense to me as an adult. Words do hurt. Even Richard Spencer agreed on that. They sting, they bite, they wound. But the beauty of language is that it is malleable. Just as Kingsters took an ancient insult and made it their own, and then white nationalists and white supremacists twisted it for their own use, so too will others continue to further stretch and shape this word. I'll leave you with this anecdote. After actors Camille Nanjiani and Thomas Middleditch were attacked at the bar and called cucks, Thomas Middleditch added the slur to his Twitter bio. And then he tweeted, quote, "Know what? Now that I think about it, I'm totally cuck. Proud of it. Cuck as fuck. Wouldn't want it any other way," end quote. And like all internet memes, good and deplorable alike, you can now purchase a cuck as fuck t-shirt.
I am gay. And I voted for Obama. I am a shill for the Clinton campaign and the left-wing mainstream press. I'm a pussy who gets fucked right up the ass. I am a cock. I am a
alt comic, and I don't mean alt-right, but alternative comic Tim Heidecker there. This is his track, I Am a Cuck. That's all for this week. You can tweet us at Lingopod, and as always, thanks so much for listening.
And Arabs do have equal rights. I have no love of country. White folks are all bad. But when the alt-right folks attack me, it makes me sad. I am a cuck. I am a lady.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Don't talk of Trump.
Nina,
Patrick.
So that word. I have to say one thing about the word cuck.
Uh huh. Many things about the word cuck. There's not just one thing to say.
But there's a beauty to it. There really is a beauty to it for me. In four letters, in one syllable, it encapsulates the year 2016. It's a horrible, horrible word.
For a horrible, horrible year? Is that
exactly
for a horrible, horrible year?
Yeah, just those four letters. There's a kind of concise beauty to it. But that's it. I hate it. I never want to hear it again.
Such an ugly word. So
horrible.
Ugly.
And you know, the funny thing was that last week when you were originally going to be voicing this podcast episode, I just happened to be hearing my regular Chinese language podcast. And it was weird. I picked out this episode that just kind of looked interesting. And what do you know? It had an insult that included the expression for cuckold
no
in it.
Way.
Which is so funny.
What
and
is it?
So to be cuckolded is Dai Lu Maozi, which means to carry a green hat.
Wait.
It's so much nicer than the word cuck.
It is really nice. A green hat?
Carry a green hat. So
carry
you say
a green
so
hat.
So like if you were saying like your wife is cheating on you, you would say Ni Lao Po, your wife. Gaini is giving you, or has given you, Dai Lu Maozi.
A green hat.
A green hat.
Oh, man.
You don't want to be wearing a green
right.
hat.
Right. Anybody out there, what words around the world mean cuckolded? There's got to be a whole range of interesting expressions, like wearing a green hat.
Wearing a green hat.
Thanks, Patrick.
You're welcome.